We think about the congregation here. You know, Jesus, early on in his ministry, let us know just how important love was going to be. And I want you to take your Bibles, if you will. I know it might take a little bit of time, and we'll kind of cut through some things to make sure we meet our time. But in John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35, John 13, 34 and 35, Jesus says, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this we'll all know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." I believe that's a trait that has helped the Palm Beach Lakes congregation be such a strong and faithful congregation over the years. And Jesus no doubt tells us that this was a new commandment. What makes it new? If you stop and think about this one phrase he says, "as I have loved you." Well, he goes on and he gives us a little bit more information on that. If you flip over to the 15th chapter, and he helps us to understand exactly what he means in verses 12 and 13. He says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you." The key here is that in the love that Jesus is talking about, he's talking about a sacrificial love. A self-sacrificing love. He's not talking about love from the standpoint of the world and touchy-feely and things of that nature. He's talking about an action word. And that action word includes sacrificing self. That's what I think about when I think about Palm Beach Lakes. I think about all of the sacrifices that have been made over the years. No, I have not been here as long as some, but I do recognize in that time period that I have been here, that there are many who have sacrificed to help this congregation be what God will have it to be such a faithful example. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, we find here that Peter likewise, piggybacking off of Jesus, gives the command to love one another. But I want to pay close attention to a word that he uses. He modifies that verb, love, with a word in the Greek language that, when broken down, means to stretch out. That word is fervently. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, he says, "Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever, because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever." But back up in verse 22, he uses that term fervently, an adverb. And that word there means to stretch out. It's interesting that in Dan's lesson this morning, he mentions a love that knows no end. And that is literally what this means. It literally means, it signifies the permanence and endurance of this action of love. W.E. Vine says the idea suggested in that is that of not relaxing in effort or always acting in a right spirit. And so when we think about this love that Peter is encouraging, is commanding of God's people in verse 22, he says that we are to love one another without end. Love one another without ceasing. Love one another without ever finding time to relax, to take a break from. That's not the love that he's talking about here. He's talking about a love that is self-sacrificing, a love that looks for to the best interest of others, but doing so without ceasing. And that is what God wants us to be. When we look at the New Testament church, going back to the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 2, I just want to highlight a couple things here. Here in Acts chapter 2, once those about 3,000 souls were added to the church at that time, according to verse 41, the Bible says that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. We have to recognize the role that God's word has played in all of this. It is the very thing upon which our faith is established. That's what Jesus made known to us in his prayer in John chapter 17. Prayed for the apostles, the men that God had given him out of the world. Prayed that he would not take them out of the world, but protect them in the world. And then he said in verse 20, he said, neither do I pray for them alone, but also for those who shall believe on me through their word. The very word that the Holy Spirit guided them to speak and to record, that word serves as the foundation of our faith. And it is of utmost importance when it comes down to us demonstrating love. The love, you'll see, sprung from their respect for, their adoration for God's word. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Well, note verse 44. It says, now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. You notice their conduct, their behavior, what it was that they did after obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. There was unity. A unity, no doubt, that was established upon God's word, upon them following the teaching of the apostles. They had all things common. Those who had extra possessions, things that they were willing to part with, they did so, brought the proceeds to the apostles. The apostles distributed the funds as were needed. That's love. And that is a love that continued. It did not cease. If you jump over to chapter 4, you'll notice here that after Peter and John had their experience with the Sanhedrin Council and they were released, they went back to their number, to the rest of the disciples, and they engaged in prayer as of verse 23. They go on and they pray, and after that, the Holy Spirit was renewed within them. The place where they were was shook, and they continued to preach the word of God with boldness. Beginning about verse 32, it says, now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet. The point is that they continued. You see, this wasn't something that just happened on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. It went without end. This was the love they demonstrated one toward another. In chapter 6, we read about the very first serious situation that arose in the church there in Jerusalem at that time, where there was a murmuring of the widows among the Hellenists against those of the Grecians, because of the fact that they felt slighted in the daily ministration of food, of meeting their needs. And you know, unlike it is in the Lord's church today, where some people get upset when things don't go the way that they want it to go, and then they will up and leave and go somewhere else, or they go out instead and decide to start their own church, rather than finding the way to deal with the problem according to God's word. Well, that's what they did here in Acts chapter 6. They submitted themselves to God's word in dealing with this problem. The apostles spoke wisely in dealing with this, told them that they would choose from among them seven men, gave the qualifications of those men, prayed for those men, laid hands upon those men, and allowed them to deal with the problem while they continued in prayer and in spreading the gospel. That's love, brethren. That's a love that knows no end. A love that when we're willing to work together, and that's what we've seen here at Palm Beach Lakes over the years, a love that has enabled us to work together, to do the work of the Lord, to spread the gospel. In fact, when I think about and I reflect on this congregation, I see this congregation, a congregation that does not cease to desire, appreciate, respect, and support the sound proclamation of God's word, whether it be from the pulpit, from the classroom, or any other setting. There's a respect for God's word. Dan has been preaching here for the last 41 years. Let me tell you what, I still hear Dan in the back of my mind saying, it is always right to do right. I still hear that. And it's always wrong to do wrong. Dan has had a great influence. So many other Bible teachers, David and others who have stood here in the pulpit, who have taught in the Bible class, in the classrooms over the years. But there is a tremendous respect for the authority of God's word in this congregation. That's what makes this congregation such a loving congregation, demonstrating a love that knows no end. When we think about Paul's words in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, where Paul told Timothy to preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke with all love and exhortation. He says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Let me tell you what, brethren, Palm Beach Lakes endures sound doctrine. Palm Beach Lakes appreciates sound doctrine. That's what we hear anytime someone is proclaiming God's word from this pulpit. That's what we hear, whether it be here or online, wherever the case may be, we hear sound doctrine coming from the preachers and teachers here in this congregation. Thank God for the elders here who demand that, who stand for that. When I think about Palm Beach Lakes, we're thinking about a congregation that does not cease to seek and save the lost. Think about it. And Dan gave these numbers this morning, but the annual gospel meetings that occur, all types of correspondence and calls to visitors, personal Bible studies, teaching the youth and spreading the gospel. I remember when I first got here, when Bill Boyd took me under his wing as far as doing personal work. Bill, you were the one that motivated me to do that. To make contact with those who had been visiting here in the congregation and to actually go out and visit their homes. You had a big impact on me as far as that is concerned. But this is what Palm Beach Lakes is all about. Whether it be mission efforts, teaching the youth about spreading the gospel, other activities of an evangelistic thrust, these things are going on. That's what makes Palm Beach Lakes a loving congregation that knows no end. This congregation does not cease to look out for the spiritual, the physical, and emotional needs of others, especially those of the household of faith, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. In the most difficult times of life, when benevolence is needed, this congregation engages in benevolence. That's a part of the mission of the Lord's church. This congregation doesn't cease to hold one another accountable to God's word, understanding the importance of unity in the family of God and the need for a spiritual nudge when necessary in order to get brethren back on the straight and narrow path. If you look quickly at 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8, even as Peter mentioned in the verse 22 in chapter 1, but in chapter 4 and verse 8, you notice here what Peter says. He says, and above all things, have fervent love. There's that word again. Fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Let me tell you what, brethren, when it comes down to us praying for those who are struggling spiritually, that's something that Palm Beach Lakes does. And this isn't about trying to sweep sin under the rug or try to pretend like we don't see things that are going on, but it's about pulling a brother or a sister to the side and talking with them. It's about the elders contacting those who are wayward and trying to reach them in order to bring them back to the fold, a concern for their soul. That's the love that Paul is talking about. That's the love that Peter is talking about. That's the love that Jesus is talking about that we must have, a fervent love. And then there's also this congregation that doesn't cease to prepare young boys and girls to develop them into godly young men and women who know, love, and respect the Godhead, the Bible, their parents, their families, their church family, respect themselves as well as others. That's what Palm Beach Lakes does. Paul instructed Titus in Titus chapter 2 of the importance of the older men and women teaching the younger men and women. We've seen that for years here at this congregation. That's how we are going to be able to replace those. We don't like to think about the fact that we'll lose members as time goes on. They'll get older. The Lord will call them home to their reward. But that doesn't mean that the church is going to stop. That doesn't mean that spreading the gospel ends. That just means that we have young men and young women who are ready to step up. When I listened to Scotty leading singing and Shane leading singing, man, these were guys that I used to run around with likewise at Central Florida Bible Camp. I've been knowing them for years, and now I see them up here. I see David. We used to play basketball together on Monday nights. You remember that? Absolutely. Years ago. But these are men who are ready to step up. They're already leading. They're prepared. The church is in a good position, and we know that because love, fervent love, has been demonstrated here in this congregation. Lastly, brethren, as a congregation, Palm Beach Lakes must not grow complacent in our efforts, but continue to take heed to God's word. I'm mindful of what Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 1. We want to know, how is it that we can continue? How is it that we can avoid becoming complacent and not allowing ourselves to be the people, the congregation that God wants us to be? Listen to what Peter says here, and we're familiar with this passage. But he says, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, these graces, we learned them as kids, the seven graces. But Peter says that these things must be in us and they must abound. That carries the idea that it must continue to grow. That means that we have to continue being in Bible class, continue studying our Bibles, continue our prayer lives, continue sharpening one another in God's word, continue encouraging one another. That's something that has to continue happening if we're going to be successful. Peter says that if these things be in you and they abound, they continue to grow, then what happens as a result of that? He says that it'll make you so that you're neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacks these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he is purged from his old sins. You see, there is a flip side to the coin. If you're not going to do these things to continue growing, then you don't just sit idle. You don't just sit on neutral territory, but instead you begin dying. In Christ, you're either growing or you're dying. And so, since that's how it is in life, we must be encouraged to add these things. We must be encouraged to continue loving one another and not letting that love come to an end. He says, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, listen to this promise, if you do these things, ye shall never fall. That's a guarantee. You can take that one to the bank. If you do what God says, brethren, Palm Beach Lakes will remain a strong and faithful congregation of the Lord's church. If we don't quench that fire of the love that has been demonstrated for years as a result of our respect for the authority of God's word. Lastly, he says, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That is our ultimate goal, brethren, to make heaven our eternal home. We can never lose sight of the big picture that we want to make it to heaven. There are many who have already died and gone on before us. We look forward to that reunion. The last time I was here for the funeral of one of my brothers. I look forward to the reunion with him one day. I look forward to the reunion with my father one day. I look forward to the reunion of all those brethren over time and in different congregations that I've had an opportunity to make their acquaintance. I look forward to being with them again one day. We must continue our love. Don't let it come to an end if we understand what fervent means. As Dan said, it's a love that knows no end. Thank you for your attention.